If you read this text of Thessalonians carefully and with your heart open, you can get a glimpse of the heart of our Lord. You know, all this joy of Paul because they're doing well. What thanksgiving then can be rendered to God for you, for all the joy we feel on your account before our God, because they're standing firm in persecution. Night and day we pray beyond measure to see you in person and to remedy to the deficiencies of your faith. He's under no illusions. And then he prays, you know, may God direct our way. And may you abound in love for one another and for all, just as we have love for you. See, that's what drives an apostle. It's not to get the job done. It's not to preach the gospel, to win people over to a certain view of reality. It's to bring them into union with Christ. Our Lord, in the gospel, from another point of view, is expressing the same kind of love and the same kind of care. We're in Matthew 24. Now, if you know Matthew, we're close to the end, right? Do you know how many chapters there are in Matthew? 28. Yeah. We're in 24. Well, you know what the church is going to do now, right? We're going to end soon. The year is coming to an end. By this time next week, we'll be in September already. Right? And by the end of November, it's the end of the year. And as this year progresses, and we progress through the gospel, you see, we're getting ready for the second coming. The little shaking up the earth took the other day was a warning. It was a kind warning. You know, we sit here so comfy. If there's anything solid around this place, it's the earth. I wish my bank account were as solid, you know. So then the earth shakes. Whoop. What do you know? My bank account. My whatever. It was a warning. And one prophet had a word from the Lord that I did that on purpose, he said, because of the way your government is going. I'm trying to warn them. So I had it close to Washington. And that's a pretty... pretty solid prophet. So this text is about that kind of alertness. Stay awake. Grigorite. Be awake. For you do not know on which day your Lord will come. To end the world? Yeah. But maybe just to come and change it. And the upheavals which will be taking place before that. They're real. Now this first part, in this beautiful image, which is picked up and even used in Pauline letters, the master of the house knew when the thief was coming, he'd stay awake. He wouldn't sleep while his house was plundered. So you too must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. How many people were expecting the earthquake the other day? You know, I was just sitting there waiting for it. I mean, well, he's saying that's the way it's going to be. And it's out of your control. Why? To frighten us? No. To get us alert spiritually. Alive, not absorbed. Huh? Now the second part of this advice is mostly to the leaders. And a lot of this end of the world, or end of a certain time of the world, advice is to the leaders. Are they doing what I set them up for to do? Who is a faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time, to take care of them? I left you there in charge to do that. Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Now it can also apply to earthly rulers. We have a canonized king. It would be darn hard to be a king and be a saint. I mean, you got all that money, you got all that comfort, you got all these people running around doing what you tell them to do. It would be very hard to be a king and be a saint. But St. Louis did it. And the text says something very nice about him. Huh? You raised St. Louis from the cares of earthly rule to the glory of your heavenly kingdom. And so we have this notion here, you see. Just one little thing here. At an unknown hour, he will punish him severely. The text says he'll cut him in half. And I guess the translators felt that would be too shocking. I mean, it's our Lord's words, you know. It's pretty tough. Why? Because he beat his fellow servants. He ate and drank with drunkards and so forth. Huh? Very tough to be a leader. Because the Lord will expect an account of all those for whom this person is a leader. And it's going to happen like the earthquake. You'll be sitting there having your lunch or whatever, and everything will start going. And you'll die. Now, how do we stay awake? I was thinking about this morning. Now, how do we stay awake? Yes, prayer, absolutely. But it's also like listening to the Holy Spirit, who is Almighty God, and in His mercy dwells in us, moves in us, encourages us, guides us, teaches us, and to develop the habit of yielding, knowing, you know, in the clamor of all our own projects, desires, fears, annoyances, sensuality, whatever we're doing. Under all that, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. That's what it means to be alert, to be awake. To hear that. It's tiny sometimes, but that's how we practice. You know, you're in a conversation, somebody makes a remark, and you've got a good one right back, and you know, am I supposed to say that? That's the Holy Spirit. Or, I think I'll have a second piece of that nice chocolate cake. Nothing wrong with chocolate cake. King Louis must have had a lot of them. But the Lord says, don't do that. Do we yield? See, those are, there's like, what can I say? It's like holiness 101. No, we got to at least do that much. And we can say to the Lord, now look, I'm not sure this is you, that I don't eat this next piece of cake, which I very much like. But in case it is, because I love you, I'm not going to do it. I don't need my guardian angel to appear in a vision and say, don't do that. You know, if I just... But we have to listen. And if we're full of self-will and sensuality, we won't. Now, we'll be pious enough. But when the Lord comes, we're going to be mighty surprised. And so practicing means obeying. The Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be watching, to be alive. And the Lord will show us, you see, in this area, You're full of self-love. There's no way you can hear me. Now, take baby steps in the areas I show you, and you'll be ready to hear me here. To watch means what? It's to know what life is all about. What are we doing here? And we're not here to serve the Lord part-time. We're here to serve Him full-time, whoever we are. Well, I got too many jobs. Well, hey, good old St. Louis had a few. And as you just heard, if you were here, you know, he went and led an army. And then he went back to lead another one. In other words, busy is no excuse. And missing prayer time because we're busy is no excuse. Not doing something, not being where the brethren are because we don't want to, is no excuse. So how do we stay alert? We obey those little movements. Now, you know, you shouldn't get scrupulous. Oh my gosh, I wonder if that was God. Yes, it was, and you blew it. Okay, let's go on. The most patient person in the world is God. Paul says that agape, first thing he says about agape is that it's patient. Well, God is agape. But it's a call not to get absorbed in all our stuff and to be attentive to God and to practice. And really, you just say, Lord, I don't want to go like every 2 seconds you're telling me something and I'm not doing it, especially the don't do things. But when I'm aware that that's a possibility, I'm going to follow it. So even if it isn't you, at least you recognize I'm trying. And you'll give me credit for it, even if it wasn't you, you know? All day like that. Then we're following our Lord's advice. So when He comes to take us with Him and to judge us, His old hat, we've been doing this for years.